If you thought your intoxicated uncle was spitting out tongue twisters last night at the neighborhood Super Bowl party, wait until you hear about our show's hyperfixation on crucifixion. You thought we were stopping with Jalen Green? No, no one is safe, not even good old Patty Mahomes. Is his chance at being the GOAT completely gone? Will Travis and Taylor ever get married, or is he doomed to be the subject of her next album? Could Saquon and Cooper DeJean have asked for better birthday presents than a Super Bowl win, along with, respectively, a 2024 Offensive Player of the Year award and the opportunity to be the poster child for all of white American sports fans? Was the defending champ's abysmal 23 yards in the first half as sad as the fact that you put money on the over? We at Against the Grain are back in business early this week to answer all your burning questions about America's biggest sporting event of the year. So let's roll the music. And let's talk some ball.
This is K-True on 96.1 KTRU LP Houston and streaming live on your phone and on the web at ktru.org. Back to you, Ian.
Good morning, Houston. I'm Ian Kleppinger, alongside Max Baserto, Julian Puerto, and our executive producer, Chloe Singer. Welcome back to Against the Grain on K-True 96.1 FM. This is the Rice University student-run radio show, where we break down everything going on in the world of Rice athletics and the broader sports scene from across the city of Houston, and in this case, our great nation of the United States of America. You can listen to us every Saturday at 8 a.m. right here on K-True 96.1. FM, or stream all of our episodes anytime by searching for K-True Sports on iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Amazon Music. Make sure to give us a follow on Instagram and TikTok, and you may have noticed that it is not Saturday at 8 a.m. at the time this is airing. That's because we, the four of us, are here a little early this week to give you an abridged episode and break down the Super Bowl in lieu of our normal Saturday slot. So, Chloe, why don't you get us started?
Thanks, Ian. The Super Bowl, I think, was not what people expected. I think last week when I threw out the question to Max of what's like the big overarching thing, the thing we can hang our hats on, it's going to be a close Super Bowl, right? But that was just not the case at all. But we've been so used to it. The past three Super Bowls have all been decided by 3 points. And going back further, most of the Super Bowls that we've seen of late have been close. So to see the Eagles perform in the dominant fashion that they did, I think, caught a lot of people off guard. And the Eagles actually statistically resembled a lot of the 1985 Bears, which I think we can debate whether they are in that echelon, that tier of dominance as a team. But they are the first team to be top two in rushing offense and top two in total defense and win the Super Bowl since the 1985 Bears.
As that's old-fashioned football right there.
Old-fashioned football. Exactly. Defense wins championships, run the ball down their throat. Ian mentioned Chiefs had just 23 yards in the first half. That is the second lowest first half total in Super Bowl history. The only lower one came again in that Bears-Patriots Super Bowl 20, where the Patriots were held to, unbelievably, minus 19 yards in the first half.
Is that this year's Patriots?
You would think. How could that be a Super Bowl Patriots team? And Hurts also made history as well, becoming the fourth quarterback joining Len Dawson, Bob Grease, and Elway to win a Super Bowl after losing their first appearance. So let's open it up to everyone. What was kind of your biggest takeaway from the Super Bowl? What are you guys thinking right now?
So I just want to rejoice, first of all, because as the Chiefs hater for Against the Grain, resident Chiefs hater, I was, I'll be honest, I was on track to boycotting the game, and here at Rice I had to help out with a watch party, and I thought, you know, why not? I know what's going to happen, and I'll just enjoy the time with my friends, but little did I know what was coming up And I'll be honest, I could not believe my eyes. I refused to believe that it was going to remain an Eagles win until they'd scored like 40, but they got the job done pretty convincingly. And as much as I'd like to say I was jumping up and down, screaming my head off, I was more so in shock than anything. And it's sort of the same reason why teams like the Bills lost to the Chiefs, man. That mystique, you believe in it so much, whether you call it like, you know, ref ball or any of this other ridiculous stuff. It's like you surely thought the Chiefs were going to come away with the victory, and you're just shocked because it's Mahomes. He had probably the worst game of his career. And you think, I was thinking about it, and it's like, man, Mahomes has sort of spoiled the NFL fan base around the nation, because you think about some of the teams recently that have won Super Bowls that aren't like Mahomes and Brady, and you think about the 2015 Broncos.
Wait, people win the Super Bowl that wasn't Mahomes and Brady?
Yeah, believe it or not, they, you know,
it has happened before.
Yeah, teams can actually do that. Yeah, and you look back at some of these matchups and you realize, man, we don't have to have the best quarterback in the matchup to actually win. You know, this is something that may hold for the regular season, but when it comes to the biggest game of the season, that's not always the case. You could even argue that Brady versus Mahomes Super Bowl, Bucks, Chiefs, you know, Brady was reaching the twilight of his career, Mahomes in his prime. You know, you could argue the worst quarterback won that matchup too. And it sort of serves as a reminder, you know, Chiefs had won the last two Super Bowls at this point, that strong rosters can win it. Like Chloe was saying, you know, defense can win championships. You can run the ball. Saquon wasn't totally efficient. I think less than 3 yards a carry last night, but Jalen Hurts ran the ball a lot. They stuck to the run anyway. And I think it provides a lot of hope. Sorry, Chiefs fans, for everybody else around the league, because it sort of opens up that parity again. Like, if you have a run game and you have a pass rush, can you do something? You look at a team like, you know, the Rams, who are always able to run the ball well, who have Jared Verse, you know, a young, bright pass rush. The Ravens have always been able to do that, right? So you come across a lot of these teams who can do it. Can they get over the hump? The Eagles were able to do so last night. Max, give us your thoughts.
Yeah, so this game was just a head and hands moment. Like, just every single play was just, and it just
or
became
cheers.
Complete domination. And I was just sitting back, just so annoyed, watching all these Eagles fans flop their arms around.
Let's
like
just
they've
say,
been Eagles fans since day one.
Yeah, Max, by the way, Max and I were in the same location for this watch party, and he was one of the few Chiefs supporters, Chiefs Glazers, who were just sitting there with, oh, the best look that any Chiefs hater, Chiefs hate watcher could see. Just that face of defeat. It was such a sweet feeling to see it. Just wanted to point that out, that Max was the ultimate loser last night.
Thanks, Julian.
Yeah, not the Chiefs or the players. No.
Max Baserto 100% took a hit to the ego, and we'll talk more about that goat conversation.
So, talking about hits to egos, I was embarrassed for the Chiefs players.
Oh yeah,
like I just like Mahomes is out there, frowning his face coming off the sideline. You've got Chris Jones on his knees, like begging for something to go right. Andy Reid gets way out coached by a guy who can't even get through his intro interview without stuttering every word. And you've got Spagnuolo out there giving up 40 plus points, not all his fault, to be fair. And this Chiefs offense was just absolutely pathetic for about 95% of the game. And it was personally just like embarrassing to watch such a horrible performance.
Yeah, it looked nothing like the Chiefs. I was telling Max that yesterday. It's like Chiefs, you know, and there's a reason that all these ref accusations come out. It's because they'd never take penalties in important games. They're always super efficient on third down. They're always running the ball, no matter who's back there. Kareem Hunt, Isaiah Pacheco, special teams, not an issue. You know, offensive line, usually a strength. And none of that, absolutely none of that, was good. It wasn't even average. It was terrible. It was so, so bad. And so many people have called it, like compared it to like a national championship where you have like Alabama playing just some like random school. It sort of looked like a college game in that sense.
Yeah, and it just, I think instead of focusing just on the Chiefs being so bad, I think there is credit to be given to Sirianni,
yeah, sure,
Vic Fangio, and Kellen Moore in
Absolutely.
Preparing this game plan. that not only allowed their defense to just completely dominate, but allowed their offense to thrive without Saquon running the ball efficiently. The Chiefs defense stopped Saquon on most run plays for only 2 to 3 yards.
Yeah, this was something that I was actually going to jump in and say, was that I think the Chiefs' defensive game plan was to stop Saquon. And you could tell even just like by the way they were lining up. Like they always had like at least 7, if not more, like right inside that immediate box just to prohibit like a run right up the gut. They often didn't have like 2 safeties over top, or like they obviously had like 1 or 2 like man matchups on the outside at just what always seemed like the wrong depth. And I think that was why the Eagles had so much success passing early on, is because they were just terrified of Saquon. And then once they started spreading out and playing, like they played some nickel and stuff, and then immediately Saquon started getting like 9-10 yard runs like every other play, it felt like. Mm-hmm. But like they got off on the wrong foot, and the Eagles, I think, knew exactly what to do at that point because that had kind of been their deck all.
Saquon on the day, 25 carries, 57 yards, averaging 2.3 yards a carry. That's pretty bad.
That's an awful day usually for a running back, but you don't care. And they used him when they wanted to. They used him in the situations that they needed to. Something y'all will remember my take on the Texans a couple weeks ago about how we were not efficient on second down and it would put us in third and long conversations. Yeah, Saquon was rushing for 2, maybe 3 yards early in the first half. But, you know, they were getting 3rd and 5s where all Jalen Hurts had to do was take off. Or, you know, occasionally they'd take the top off the field. They'd pass it to Devontae Smith on that touchdown. They got A.J. Brown on that play that got called back, right? Dallas Goedert open on crosser routes. It's like, you know, Saquon was used, you know, a lot. But in an odd way, even though it wasn't efficient, I think they used him the right way yesterday.
Yeah, and I think Jalen Hurts was a big part of that.
MVP.
Yeah, deserved, by the way.
Oh, absolutely for sure. Deserved. For sure. He deserves all the credit in the world. But the thing is, with the Eagles playoff run, we watched Saquon just tear teams up in the NFC. And Jalen Hurts kind of took a back seat, and he got kind of flamed for it, even though they're putting up 40, 50 points. And to see him in the Super Bowl step up when they needed him just shows how great of a winner he is and how good of a quarterback and teammate he is. To be able to step up and say, okay, now it's my time to lead this team, and say, Saquon, we're going to keep giving you the ball, but I'm going to make sure that we keep these drives going, was huge credit to him, and he absolutely deserved the Super Bowl MVP.
The guy's just a winner. Like, all he does is win. Is he this generation's, like, Eli Manning? Like, I know Jalen Hurts is a little bit more dynamic, right? Like, but in, like, similar ways, you always felt like Eli, you know, for the team, for his team to be great, it was like he didn't need to be the best player on the field, right? Like, now Jalen Hurts has beaten Mahomes, you know, this generation's Brady, if you want to compare to that. Like, Max, you were giving us a take before the show was starting that I was like, wow, so, like, I don't know if I agree with this now, but I see the vision for what you're saying there.
Jalen Hurts has been to 2 Super Bowls, one on his rookie deal where people tried to say, oh, he's got this great roster around him that kind of fostered the success. Once again, he has a great roster around him, this time not on his rookie deal, on a massive, typical superstar quarterback contract. In both Super Bowls, he put up over 290 total yards, scored a rushing touchdown in both, albeit on a push.
Right, but that's his play,
but
you know?
That is his play, and he is the only quarterback who can effectively execute that play consistently. And I just think going to 2 Super Bowls, dueling with Mahomes, beating him once, and dominating him, this guy is a future Hall of Fame quarterback.
Wow.
Future Hall of Famer?
Yes, and I am a AFC like quarterback lover. Like, I love all 4 of those top guys. But to be honest, he's above Josh Allen and Joe Burrow in terms of legacy right now.
Just because of the ring?
Because of the ring, he's been to 2. He's beat Mahomes, something Josh Allen has had 4 shots to do in the playoffs. And, like, you roll a dice enough times, you're going to get a 1. Like, Josh Allen, if you're that good and your legacy is that great, you need to beat Mahomes. And Jalen Hurts has done it in the Super Bowl in the biggest moment, and he absolutely dominated
him. It's fair. Like, you look back and you think of, like, that draft class, Philip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger, Eli Manning. it's arguable that Eli Manning has the best legacy out of the three of them, maybe. Like, I know Steelers and Chargers fans will be after me for that, but the guy, and like, I know Big Ben had...
That's not a crazy case at all.
Though. Had, like, one... Big Ben has what? One Super Bowl? One Super Bowl. Eli has two, but
yep.
Those were against Tom Brady's Patriots team. It's like... And maybe it helps that he's a Manning, too, like, brother to Peyton, but, like, I don't know, man. Like, I think Max's take, that's not too crazy. You know, it's one that probably should be thrown out there. Yeah, like... Jalen Hurts deserves a bit more respect, especially going into next season, you know?
I think in football, more than any other sport, when it comes to the Hall of Fame, championships are valued at a premium. I think that's the case for Hurts. I think we're still too early. The career's too young. I think we need to still see a consistent level of play throughout the next 5 to 10 years. But I like where your head's at.
I mean, I just, there's no signs of him being, like, incredibly inconsistent. Because he's just doing what it takes for his team to win.
Yeah.
Like, if he needs to hand it off to Saquon 29 times in a game, like, he can put his ego aside. He won't change out of plays. Like, he's going to run the ball. Their team's going to run the ball. And then when his time comes to either run or pass, he's done it pretty much flawlessly
yeah.
in some of the biggest moments. Even the Super Bowl he lost, he, like...
He had a great game that...
He had
yeah.
he was, arguably
yeah.
the best game of his career.
He always executes. Like, just, he just gets the job. Oh yeah, he just gets the job done. It feels like the team is so well rounded, and when you have a team that's that well rounded, like, I was thinking about this, like, it felt like when we were talking about like schemes earlier, it's like they were every like Eagles pass catcher was winning. It felt like every one on one matchup.
Jahan Dotson was getting open multiple
yeah,
times.
Like, it was
in the
crazy,
game,
and it was like so that like one takes like you have to have a well rounded team to do that and not have that done against you because it's like the Chiefs aren't known for their like super crazy receiving core right now, but it's not nobody's. And like they had some good routes like run, especially in the second half. And like they are a playoff team, and they got to where they were gonna. But the like it's just you just have to have a quarterback. Like it takes a certain kind of quarterback to like facilitate and thrive in that environment, as opposed to like completely putting the team on your shoulders all the time.
Yeah,
which I
like
think
Josh
is what,
Allen
or like Eve, honestly, kind of what I feel like what Mahomes tried to do yesterday unsuccessfully.
Yeah,
like that was that like the gaps in the Chiefs were like finally exposed. Like the ones that people had been theorizing about all season, they just
yeah.
like. They finally like met a team that was well rounded enough to like they couldn't get away with some of the things they just.
Yeah, the offense struggled for sure.
Yeah. So on that point, I think, and Julian, you kind of were getting at this a little bit earlier, in that Bucks Chiefs Super Bowl, the killer for Mahomes was the pass rush getting to him,
yeah.
and that threw him off. We saw that again come up this Sunday. Clearly, the offensive line is a sore spot for the Chiefs right now. Where do you think the Chiefs can go in the offseason to try to improve that part of the roster?
You know, it's a tough one because, and we didn't talk about this much, but because it felt so much like a coaching mismatch just in that game yesterday, it doesn't feel like, if you're a Chiefs fan, I don't really know how you feel about this game because last year's team that won the Super Bowl was arguably weaker on paper than this year's. So it's like, right, like the offense, like maybe you have a change at offensive coordinator. Like, I don't know how involved Matt Nagy even was, but it seems like the problem was the offense. Defense didn't play great, but it feels like offense is the problem. But the thing is, with how much they're paying a lot of their star guys, they don't have a lot of money to target free agents. Like, some of the offensive tackles, even like Jedrick Wills or like Ronnie Stanley, like, these are players that might resign, maybe not Wills because Cleveland is rebuilding, but offensive linemen cost a lot of money, and receivers, same thing. T. Higgins, Chris Godwin, they're not going to be able to go for these guys unless they pull off some voodoo magic again. It seems like they're going to have to strike some luck in the draft, like how they did with Creed Humphrey and Xavier Worthy in the back half of the first round, and just hope that these guys are Pro Bowl level players right from the get-go. So in my opinion, and this is where we can sort of transition a little bit more, would the Chiefs still be my favorite to make it out of the AFC? Maybe, but honestly, this Eagles team feels a lot like the mid-2010 Seahawks led by Russell Wilson. Jalen Hurts sort of reminds me of him a little bit, where it's just a super well-rounded roster, well-coached, very strong defense. And I'm going to make a bold prediction right now and say that the Eagles repeat next year.
Ooh.
I think that's my take for next year's Super Bowl champions. Yeah.
Don't hate that.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to see how, like, what another team would do to, like, match what they did, especially this year in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just hard to see, like, who is going to make enough moves and draft well enough and fill their holes well enough to be so well-rounded. Like I think I heard someone say, and this is like arguably true, they have the best O-line and the best D-line in the league.
If you have that, you've instantly given yourself a chance to win.
Right. And it's not like they don't have anybody in the backfield behind them, right? Like it's just like how are you going to like match up with that? Like there's a point where it's like somebody has to like from like a football operations department, like somebody has to just, if someone's going to rival the Eagles, like something that where you can't really see right now has to happen. Mm-hmm. Well, so if we're going to talk about the other 31, it becomes like, who do we think has the best chance of pulling something like that off?
I mean, the Eagles also could potentially lose some guys this offseason too.
Yeah.
They have a couple key free agents. I mean, Brandon Graham's probably going to retire. Williams is a free agent. Josh Sweat, Zach Bond, who's been...
That's a lot of defensive players.
A crazy deal that they got him for this offseason. Mekhi Becton. So guys that have really emerged on cheap rosters for the Eagles will now be free agents. So we could see turnover there. But here's what sports books have as the odds right now. So Eagles are the favorites at plus 650. Then we have the Ravens at plus 700, Bills and Chiefs at plus 750, and the Lions at plus 800 for that top five.
What do y'all say? What do y'all have? If y'all had to choose for next year? I know where Max is going.
I think, like, from a betting perspective, I think you have to take the Eagles. I think the Lions are way overrated. I just don't think their defense is that good, and losing two coordinators is going to be a huge loss. So from a betting perspective, I think the Eagles are the safest because the NFC is a little less crowded. But I will say, I think the Bengals are a team that will make a deep run and play in a huge AFC championship game next year that I think they win. They will go on to win the Super Bowl.
Wow. That's
Bengals
a
plus
take.
1,800 right now for reference.
I can see the vision. But there's a lot. I feel like it's contingent on
a lot needs to go right. Yeah.
A lot has to happen. So, like, real briefly, Max, make the case for those things happening, for the defense, for the T. Higgins return or another valid receiver. Like, how do you see this going down as you make your?
I mean, the Bengals can run the ball effectively. Joe Burrow can play as the best QB in the league. He's a top two quarterback in the league for sure.
Okay.
Ja'Marr Chase wants to beat the Chiefs more than anything. He posted on Twitter immediately.
Yeah, I saw that.
Ja'Marr Chase wants to win extremely badly, and the duo of him and Joe Burrow, obviously this year they succeeded and still lost a ton of games, I think can be even better. And on the defensive side of the ball, I think with some offseason adjustments, a couple guys come in.
They fired their DC, right?
I believe so. And you still have Trey Hendrickson, who's probably a top three defensive end in the league, just based on purely
getting sacks. A lot of top twos, top threes being thrown around here.
Yeah, he led the league in sacks. So.
They have top two QB, top two receiver, top three defensive end. That's Super Bowl material in my eyes.
To be fair, Eagles don't have like the best player at any position necessarily. Like maybe
Saquon?
Oh, I guess Saquon, sure.
Right, it's like an antithesis almost. It's like the Eagles have like an above average, if not elite player.
Well, I think that's what Max is getting to, though. Like, if you have the right guys in the right positions who are superstars, then you can make noise.
And I think, like, looking at it right now, I'd always want to bet on someone I know is going to be at the top of their game, and that's Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase.
Mm-hmm. That's really fair.
What do you say, the other two of you?
I think it's tricky. Right now, as a value play, I kind of like the Rams at plus 2,500. I know that's kind of a hot take
Stafford,
here.
I'm sure if he's coming back.
He said he's coming back. Stafford's running it back. So you have a solid quarterback. You have a solid head coach. Those are the first two things that you need to check off the list, right?
Jared Verse.
My God. Jared Verse, obviously, just run Defensive Rookie of the Year. I think they have some really good young pieces. I always think the Rams are a threat. I think that they actually, I mean, they were kind of one penalty away from having a pretty good chance of converting at the end of the game and beating the Eagles in the playoffs this year. I wouldn't sleep on the Rams. That's what I like is the value play. The AFC is just so crowded. It's hard to pick out a name from that bunch. I kind of think the Rams are interesting here.
I think barring a Jaden Daniels sophomore slump, I'm tempted to like ride the Commanders bandwagon a little bit.
I don't hate that take.
Because like, I mean, like, for one, they did it, like they had a pretty good run this year, like obviously. But then like I trust the new kind of the new establishment just in Washington, in Maryland in general, continue to improve and just continue to develop and just like it was like 1 year. It was like real quick, just see what you can do.
Yeah.
And that's what they did. It was like, okay, well now like give them time to actually like develop people now that their system's installed. They can like, it's like if that's like, you know, we talk all the time about like, oh, I don't know, what are they going to do? They have a first year coordinator, first year coach. It's like, okay, that's what they do with their first year. Like, what are we going to expect in their second or their third year?
Yeah,
like,
I do just want to say, I know, and Jaden Daniels had a better year than CJ Stroud his rookie year, but we were saying the same about the Texans. We had a couple of...
No, that's true.
We had a strong draft, strong free agency. You never know, because... But I don't hate that. I'm a big Jaden Daniels fan.
And I'm like, I think I'm also willing to put more eggs in that basket than, like, a Lions basket with the way their defense... And now losing their coordinators really did that for me. Mm-hmm. I had some faith in the Lions until they lost, but now I'm like, I don't... That's a tough like needle to thread. And then also like the 49ers had like a subpar season with their like third string offense. But I think it's like they're what, sixth most likely right now, according to like the odds to win the Super Bowl. And it's like, that feels like a stretch. So like
it feels high.
As far as the NFC goes, I think that's one of the best like value plays for me.
Not bad. Not bad.
Well, I think that'll do it for us tonight. We just wanted to give you our initial thoughts and reactions to the Super Bowl and kind of think about what happened, where these leads these two teams moving forward, and kind of the shape of the year heading into the off season. Thank you so much for tuning in. We will not be releasing an episode this Saturday as we have our spring recess, but we will be back the following week. So stay tuned. Make sure to do all the things you would do to support your favorite radio show. Be sure to follow us on Instagram and TikTok. And if you have any questions, please feel free to email us at kdrewsports@gmail.com.
Fly,
thank
Eagles,
you so
fly.
Much.